God is holding on to me, and God is holding on to you. Our scripture lesson this morning is taken from the recordings in the Gospel of Matthew, and today's verse is Matthew 6:10, and I want you to read that with me. The second phrase in the Lord's Prayer. Let us read together. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your will be done. Have any of you had any stress this week? Yeah, I suppose you have. You know, last week I told you I cracked a front tooth crown and last weekend, and my tooth fell out. And I had trouble talking. I was kind of slurring, trying to get my tongue to work without my tooth there. And I had trouble eating. And I needed to go to the dentist. This was the worst part because I don't like to do that. I don't like anybody with a drill in my mouth making all kind of crazy noises and stuff like that. So it was stressful. I met with a couple this past week for marriage counseling. They were having some serious issues. And they were all stressed out about the dynamics of the relationship. And I already mentioned I visited Kay in the hospital last night, and she was concerned about this unknown illness that she was dealing with and the way she was feeling, and concerned about what to do about it and what can be done about it. And she seemed so stressed. How about you? Any stress this week? I'd be surprised to think that you at least had some. Probably the most difficult type of stress is the stress that you have no control over. If there's something that's stressing you out, if there's something that's bothering you, and you can change it, that's a lot easier to handle because you know you can change it. And because you know you can change it, if you need to, then that's easier to accept. But some things in life you just can't change. And you can't eliminate that stress, and you can't ignore that stress, and you can't change that stress, then it does something to you. Let me give you three examples of stress, and I'm going to invite you to, with the insert in the bulletin. We do have an insert in the bulletin, don't we, or do we? Okay, I must have lost mine. Never mind. I've probably got mine turned over. That's exactly what it is. Thank you. But I want to give you three examples of sources of stress. The first one is in uncontrollable circumstances. And that's the kind of unchangeable stress where you feel helpless because the situation that you're in is out of your control. For example, you go to the airport and you have a delayed plane flight. And so there's nothing you can do about that. And you get stressed. Or you get laid off from work. That's a little more serious. It's nothing that you've done. It could be the economy. It could be other factors. But there's nothing that you have control of. We get more serious. The doctor tells you you have a terminal illness. It's out of your control. There's nothing you can do about it. The second category of stress I call uncooperative people. These are the crazy makers. No matter how nice you are to them, they're still cranky. They're still mean. They're ungrateful. Do you have any relatives who are unpleasurable? Now, wait a minute. Don't look around if they are here, okay? But are there any people that are cranky and mean and ungrateful, and you find it difficult to get along with? It causes stress when you have to deal with these kind of people in your life because there's nothing you can do about it. They're not going to change, and you just have to kind of go along with it. Now, here's the third form of stress. It's an unexplainable pain. When you have pain that you know the cause of it, you can handle it a whole lot better than when you have something going on that you're in pain and it's unexplainable. Unexplainable pain is pain that doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make sense why it's happening, or you have no reason for it. It's the kind of pain where you're always asking, what's going on? Why me? Why this? Why now? You see, these kinds of stresses happen in your life that you have no control over. There's nothing you can really do about it. You're just going to have to live with it. How do you like that? You're just going to have to live with it. Well, that is what we face. That are the situations oftentimes, and therefore the only solution is surrender. The only solution for surrender, in surrender, is to find serenity. You can come to a place in life that you can actually, in the midst of all of this stress, find a place of serenity when you surrender. But you can only have peace when you surrender to God. That's the only time that you can find what you're really looking for in your life, what you're looking for in your heart, what you're searching for in life is surrender to God. Serenity comes through that kind of surrender. Now, that leads us to a second phrase of the Lord's Prayer in this series on connecting with God. Last week, we looked at the first phrase, which was, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Our Father, our God, our Creator. How wonderful are you? We talked about what kind of Father is God. God is loving and caring, and God is always there for you, no matter what. Our Father who art in heaven, blessed be your name. Today we're going to look at that second phrase of the Lord's Prayer, which you read with me in our scripture reading in verse 10. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, this is what I call the prayer of serenity. Thy will be done. Do you want to deal with stress in a way that brings serenity and peace and meaning and purpose? Then we're going to have to focus on Thy will be done, God. If you want to deal with stress, that's what this message is about. If you want help with stress, okay. But first, what in the world in that phrase in the Lord's Prayer, what in the world is God's kingdom? If we're going to pray that God's kingdom come, what do we mean about God's kingdom? It has nothing to do with the government. The Bible says in John 18, Jesus said, My kingdom is not of this world. So we're not trying to set up God's kingdom as a physical, political, or institutional entity on earth. It's nothing like that. The kingdom of God, however, is all about power. That means God can do something when you're in His kingdom to transform your life. God can do something to change how you're living and give you a direction and a hope and a future. It's transformational. It's something that changes your life. It is God's work in the world. It's what God is doing in the world. The kingdom of God is living right with God. Now, listen to that. Maybe you could skip over that if you're not careful. The kingdom of God is living right with God. And it becomes a life of peace and joy because of the Holy Spirit living in you. In other words, it's spiritual and it's relational. In other words, it's all about connecting. It's about connecting to God. It's about connecting to each other. Now, it's important to be able to answer this question. Where is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is wherever Jesus is king. Sounds simple enough. If he's king in your heart, then the kingdom of God is within you. If Jesus is king in heaven, then the kingdom of God is in heaven. If Jesus is king here on earth, that one day when he comes back, then the kingdom of God is here on earth. In fact, the Bible says all three of these things. It said the Bible says the kingdom of God is in heaven, the kingdom of God is within you, the kingdom of God is on earth. It's wherever Jesus is king. It's wherever his rule and reign is. And if you're following the sermon outline, the kingdom of God is wherever God's will is done. To pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, is to pray what I call the prayer of surrender. It says, God, you are in charge. Hear, God. What's unchangeable in my life, those uncontrollable circumstances, those uncooperative people, those unexplained pain, I'm going to give it to you. Would you be willing to do that this morning? Would you be willing to give your uncontrollable circumstances and just place it in God's hand? People you have trouble with and dealing with, just place it in God's hand. When you're going through all kind of pain, would you be willing just to put it in God's hand? God, I'm going to give it to you. That's surrender. What does it mean to surrender and give all of those stresses to Jesus? It means that you make some deliberate choices. Here's the first one in the outline. Surrendering to Jesus means letting go of control. Every day you get up in the morning and you have to decide who's going to be in control of your life. Will it be you? Or will it be God? Every day is a battle. I don't know if you deal with that. I do. Every morning that I get up, I have to decide, am I going to live my life for me? Or am I going to live my life for God? It's a choice. It's a battle. There are things in your life that you don't want to give up control of. You want to control it. You want to control what life is for you because you think you have a better plan. You think you can make decisions that will make life better for you than what God has said is best for you. There are verses in the Bible you'd like to ignore because they don't fit what you want in your lifestyle or the way you want to live. You want to do things the way you want to do it, and you will obey God if it works into your plan or your schedule. But a lot of things that are not comfortable or popular, you would just soon to ignore. Do you do that? Do you ignore God's word because what God says that you are to live, you don't want to do that because it cramps your style. It cramps what you want to do. It cramps what you want to be. That's the problem. Are you going to let God be God and follow him? Are you going to be God, set yourself up as God, and you decide what you pick to do and choose and what you choose not to do? Do you want to make your own rules for life? You say, God wants me to be happy, of course. So all I'm doing is doing what God already wants. But when you say that, you also want to be your own God. But stress relief always starts with letting God be God and obeying him and following what he teaches. It always starts with saying, God, I'm going to give up my control because you can control the things that are out of control in my life. I've tried that. I can't do that. But God, you can. So I give it up to you. The Bible says this in Psalm 46:10, let go and know that I am God. I rule the earth. God says, I'm in control, so you need to let go and let God be God. I don't know what you're going to face this next week. Of course not. And you don't know either what you're going to face. But I can already tell you what God wants you to do. Now, how can I do that? Because the Scripture tells me that. Scripture says, let go and give it to God. God says this is the first step to serenity in your life, no matter what happened, is to let go of trying to be your own God and trying to control your own life and give it to God. Let go of that control and let God be in control. Let go of trying to figure it all out yourself as if you could direct your life the way it needs to go. And let God, who already has it figured out, who already knows what direction you should go, and let it go and give it to Him. Do you know the number one reason you're under stress? It's because you're in conflict with God. You're trying to do things that only God can do. You're trying to make your life happy. You're trying to find purpose and meaning. You're trying to find your way in life because you think you know the best way for you. You're trying to control things that only God can control. The more you do it, the more you're trying to play God. You're fighting with God when you do that. And you know, in any conflict with God, you're going to lose. And not only are you going to lose, but you're going to get tired, frustrated, wiped out, and you're going to be fatigued, and you're going to be emotionally drained. You need to pray the Lord's Prayer every day. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, your kingdom. Not my kingdom. Your kingdom come. Your will be done, not my will. We need to pray that every day. Now, I have included in the outline the Serenity Prayer, which is a lot of people pray the Serenity Prayer, which is based on the Lord's Prayer. It's saying, Lord, you know, I can't, there's things I can't control. Help me to understand, to have the wisdom to know the difference. But let me work into things I can control and change. But let me give up those things that I can and realize that I need to have the wisdom to know the difference between those. You see, the Serenity Prayer, whether it's there or whether it's in the Lord's Prayer, it's trust in Jesus is going to make it all right if I follow His lead. It's surrendering to Jesus' will. That's where all the power is. Now, here's the second thing. It means to surrender to Jesus. It means learning to be content. Paul understood this, and notice what he says in Philippians 4. He says, I've learned to be satisfied or content with the things that I have and with everything that happens. And I have learned the secret of being happy, being content at any time in everything that happens. I can do all things through Christ because He gives me strength. You know, when Paul wrote this, now Paul was not sitting down here at some plush hotel writing this letter here. He's in prison in Rome, and he's writing, I've learned to be content in all situations, and here he is chained to a Roman soldier in a damp, dirty, dark prison. I've learned to be content. So he knows what he's talking about. He knows that he says, I know how to be up when things are going good, and I know how to be down when things are like this, when I'm in prison, whether I have plenty or whether or not. I know how to go through bad times, and it's okay when I surrender to Jesus, and He's there with me in those hard times. And I know what it's like to be in good times. I've learned to be content because I have surrendered to Christ. I've surrendered to God. God is going to make everything okay. Does that feel like what your life is going through? Everything is going to be okay. If you don't feel like everything's going to be okay, maybe you've not surrendered to Jesus. Maybe you're trying to control that. Maybe you're trying to change that. Maybe you're trying to give life to yourself. But you need to learn, like Paul, to be content, because God has not abandoned you. God is with you in these times. Maybe you, if you're following the outline, you need to circle that word learned in that verse. I've learned. Contentment is a learned experience. By nature, you and I are not content people. Would you agree with that? Are you a content person? Everything's going cool all the time? No, we have to learn that. It's something we have to learn. But when you are content in times of difficulty and struggles and hard times, it's a mark of being emotionally and spiritually mature. It means that I am finally surrendering to God, that I'm maturing in my spiritual walk. Life is not what I see around me and what I'm experiencing here. Actually, this is just a doorway into eternity. That's why I'm created. That's what I'm living for, is to be with God forever. And I've learned to be content now because this is not life. You know, as I get older, I experience this more and more. I understand that a lot of times we look at death as something that is horrific. Why did that person die? Why did they die now? As if we lived to be 100, then everything would be okay. But it's not, because we were created to live for eternity. And eternity is not here. Life here and death is just the doorway to open us to that eternity. That is what we're looking forward to. Or that's what we should be looking forward to. We should be looking forward to eternity with God and be preparing for that. It's something you have to learn. It's a choice. Surrendering to Jesus not only means letting go of control of the stuff I can't control, and it's learning to be content of the stuff that I don't understand. But here's the third thing surrendering to Jesus means. It means laying down my plans. You know, I guess I plan something in my life every day. Some things are kind of on automatic control. It's just I get up and I do a certain routine. But a lot of times my plans don't work out. Or why do I have problems when I do make plans and they don't seem to go the way I wanted or intended or expected them? You know why? Because we make bad choices. We don't always use our time wisely. We don't use our money wisely. We don't eat right. We don't rest right. We make all kinds of bad decisions, and then when things go bad in our life, we want to blame God because life ain't what we want it to be. Most of them, it's just because we chose things that are not good. But also, you're not only dealing with your bad choices and my bad choices, but we have an enemy, and his name is Satan. A lot of times in this day and time, we don't hear much about him. We think it's maybe more of a mythological thing than a reality, but Satan wants to defeat us. And he is an entity that we have to deal with. Before we even wake up in the morning, he's already planning how can he mess up our lives. And if you wake up in the morning and you don't meet the devil face to face, if you're not trying to make a decision to give up my will and to do God's will, it's probably, if you're not facing Satan in the morning, it's because you're headed in the same direction. And he doesn't have to worry about that. Because Satan wants to do us in, and he's doing a number in our world. And he has been from the time of creation and the fall of man. Also remember, we live in a world where everything is broken. Nothing works right. Your body doesn't work right all the time. Your relationships, when you're trying to get along with people and have close and intimate relationships. They don't work all the time. The economy doesn't work right all the time. The weather doesn't work and cooperate all the time. Nothing works right all the time because we live on a broken planet where there is sin and sorrow. God wants to work some new plans into our life. God wants to work something new in our life. What does He want to do in your life more than anything else? What does God want for you this year more than anything else in your life? He wants you to learn to be unselfish. The bad word. Life is about learning to be unselfish. It's the number one lesson. It's the one Jesus spoke about more than anything else. Love one another. Encourage one another. Be with one another. Give to one another. Help one another. Encourage one another. Love one another. It was constantly on Jesus' lips. Life is all about love. It's about giving and not getting. It's about sharing, not being served. When I was doing some counseling this past week, one of the things that came out to me as I talked to this couple was that the problems that we often find in relationships is that me, 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 what do I get out of it? You're always looking for your partner. What can you give me to make my life better? And if that's the relationship, if that's the marriage, it'll never work. Because marriage is not about what can I get out of it. And if I don't like what I'm getting, then it's over. I'll go somewhere else. I'll look for someone else. Well, give me what I need. Relationships is about what can you give to others? What can you give to help that person become more than what they would be without that? Relationships is about giving. And when this couple, if I could get them to begin to see, it's not what you're going to get out of it. It's what can you give to enrich and to encourage and to lift up the other person. Now, see, the side effects, you don't understand it. While you're giving, it is more blessed in that sense that to give than it is to receive. That while you're giving, you get blessed. It's something that happens. If you're trying to make yourself receive it, you won't get it. But if you're giving it and giving it away, you receive it. And that's the thing I believe Jesus would want us to learn this year, is to be unselfish, to be more loving, to be more giving. It's about sharing, not about being served. Here's the fourth thing. And the last thing, and we're out of time, so I'm going to hurry over this. I'm going to go quickly over this. Surrendering to Jesus means leaving the future to God. Surrender to Jesus does not mean expecting to live many, many days. And this is what I was saying earlier. It's not about living to an old age. It means living one day at a time. Surrender to God. It means deciding that no matter what happens today, I'm going to live for God. And I'm going to leave it to Him. And I'm going to decide in advance to leave the results of my life up to God. As I was driving to Bedford Hospital last night, there's a new song, that contemporary song on the radio that comes on. It this person is saying that sometimes you win and sometimes you lose. And right now I'm losing really bad. But I'm going to praise you, God, because I know that you have the answer and I know you have the help. But even if it doesn't come, I will still serve you. I will still praise you. My determined that you are my God is not that I'm getting what I want, but the fact that I know that you are watching over me. Whatever's going on in my life, I'm going to leave that into God's hand. I'm going to leave it to Him. I'm going to decide in advance that to leave the results of my life up to God, no matter what. It's not up to me. The results of my life are going to be up to God. In Proverbs 3, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. I'm not going to lean on me. I'm going to lean on God. Would you like to have less stress and more serenity in your life? Then you have a decision to make. And the decision is, I'm going to do what I think is best. Or is it, I'm going to do what God tells me to do? Am I going to do what I think is right, or am I going to obey God's word? God says, when I tell you what to do and you do it, I'll take care of you, no matter what. So here's the question. What area of your life this morning is not surrendered to God? Is it something in your home, in your job, in your family, in your finances, your hobbies, your recreation? What is it that you've not surrendered to God and say, I'm going to obey your word, Lord. I'm going to give it to you. Now, I'll be honest with you. Here's what Jesus said in Luke 14. You must give up everything you have to be my follower. So what I'm telling you this morning is not an easy thing. I'm not saying it's pie in the sky. What I'm saying is there's got to be a deliberate choice, and it's going to cost you your life. It's going to take everything of your life. If you want to have less stress, if you want to be surrendered to God, it's going to cost you something, and it's going to cost you dearly. But I don't mean when I say dearly that you're just going to give up something and get nothing. You're going to get everything. When you come to Jesus and you give up everything you've got, then you've never had it so good. You give it all up. Whatever is number one in your life, that's what Jesus is asking you and me to do. Would you pray with me? Loving God, oh Father, there are so many people that are stressed out by uncontrollable circumstances, by uncooperative people, by unexplained pain. We look for solutions and we look for explanations when really what we need to look for is you, Jesus. And I pray that today those who are experiencing deep stress will experience the serenity of surrender. Father, help us to know how to let go. Help us surrender in your love right now. And so may this be our prayer. Dear Lord, we give up. We give in. We surrender. We want thy kingdom to come and thy will to be done in my life. Father, we want this to be our prayer, daily prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So Jesus, we let go of control right now. We want to learn to be content right now. We want to lay down our life for your plan and purpose right now. And we leave the future to you. Oh God, please replace my stress with your serenity. And we join together in saying, may your will be done. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, I want to invite you to join me as we come to a close by recommitting our lives to God. May thy will be done. I'm going to invite you to stand with me. May we